inviting me here and for being here to listen. And I need to apologise in advance for this awful cough, which has been interrupting everybody's listening of the other talks and may interrupt my presentation a bit. I'm above all delighted to be here at the Centre for Health and Humanities at King's, partly because of my long association with King's, which is very interesting. When I first wanted to look at literature and ageing, which was back in 1995, I found that I couldn't. There was no happy home for me to do this. Eventually I did do it, but I had to stay within one department, which was the Department of Gerontology. So it's wonderful that this department now exists. I'm hoping to present today some findings from a project. I emphasise findings because in the past I've talked a lot about the methods that I used to work with people with dementia. Now I want to think about these art projects as community networks. This was part of a project called Mark Making. It was a national project. We looked at the arts, participative arts, for people with dementia. And I worked with a truly interdisciplinary team. John Killick, who some of you will know of, who's a poet and innovator in dementia care, and Dr. Chris Fox, who's a consultant old age psychiatrist. Extremely helpful. Today, I'm concentrating on the voices of the people with dementia and what they said about the arts projects they were involved with. So, a brief outline of the structure. I'm going to start with a brief discussion of some of the central concepts in mark making, which were obviously dementia and what I mean by that. Because I'm not going to answer that question in any way, but just pose some more questions. And then community, and what we might mean by community. And then think about the role of the arts for this population, and move on to some themes from the interviews. And then some concluding thoughts. So what do we mean then when we talk about dementia? This is actually the title of a talk I gave at UEA last year, and to my astonishment and everybody who organised the talk's astonishment, the room was completely packed, and it was packed full of medics from UEA who thought that I was going to actually answer the question of what we meant by dementia. They were sorely upset by what happened next. That jumped on. What I have explored is the fact that dementia is a syndrome, and it defies any simple definition. So the scientific literature is also conflicted, and I've got training in the sciences, but my background is actually in the humanities. So I went to the scientific literature with great hope, it's kind of the peak of expectation, thinking I was going to find some answers. Found nothing, and then the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which came out in May this year, I think, said that even Alzheimer's, we don't know, and we're not prepared to say what that is. So it's perhaps for this reason, the shifting nature and complexity of this syndrome that we call dementia, that it's become a fear-laden term that encapsulates some of society's worst terrors. Despite the general lack of consensus about what dementia is in neurological terms, there is, however, general agreement that dementia is a long-term medical disability. However, at the present time, the prospect of finding a cure or even effective drug treatment for this condition is elusive. And in the absence of appropriate pharmacological interventions, the social conditions in which those with a dementia live also are now attracting urgent attention. Pioneering work by researchers and practitioners has contributed to an understanding that although Alzheimer's and other dementias may be incurable at present, and indeed may always be incurable, they are conditions that can be treated, and that treatment always requires more than drugs. So it's crucial then to recognise that dementia represents more than a medical condition, and that the wider social, cultural, and political context also influences the ways in which people live with this diagnosis. Within this emerging context, the role of the community has been lauded as central for individuals' well-being. And so David Cameron, that was a slide we skipped to there, in his speeches on dementia, has stressed dementia-friendly communities. So it's a term that troubles me, perturbs me, and that I kind of roll around and yet have to engage with. I think it's interesting that UK politics and policies have been increasingly targeted at the level of community, and in particular, local communities. So the coalition government explicitly stated in 2010 that they're interested in giving local communities power, but it's unclear what exactly that means, and what that might mean in terms of dementia is even less clear. So with this in mind then, it's perhaps useful to think a little bit about what is meant by community. And you forgive me for this being only the skimming the surface of the literature that I've looked at. So community then, it can exist at many levels, from the global, and that might be a virtual community, and I feel that I am part of a virtual community in lots of the work that I do, a global community, to also the micro level. However, the term tends to refer to a social organisation that shares common values. That's where it originates. The meaning comes from the word, from the Latin, communis, which are things held in common. This communality of values affects the social identity of participants and social practice. So that's a slide from one of the arts projects that I was lucky enough to work with, actually in Dulwich Picture Gallery. And this was a quote from one of the people with dementia that I also worked with. And she said very eloquently, we became a little group amongst ourselves. And that for me was a lovely definition of community, if you like. The notion then that policies for people with dementia now focus on communities has a certain logic, of course, particularly at a time when there are recurring scandals and general suspicion about institutional care, and given the awareness of the prevalence of dementia, this is something we all hear a lot, the idea that dementia is something that we should hold in common is quite interesting. However, research into the communities of people with dementia is nascent, practically non-existent, in fact. There has been some work on the social environments of people living with dementia, and the findings are that these are complex, and also that they're not fully understood. And yet the therapeutic benefits of social engagement are unequivocal. So the four art projects that we were lucky to work with during mark-making all created a unique form of community based on place and space and time and also identity. I can't discuss all of that today, but a community network is traditionally considered to consist of individual actors. And in terms of the arts projects, this might be the artists and the students and the people with dementia and their carers. They're all linked together, in this case by an activity within a defined space and time due to living with similar difficulties, the dementia. I think it's this notion of a creative linking together that is most important when considering the role of the arts for people with dementia. So the arts then for people living with a dementia. The interest in the social conditions surrounding this condition that we call dementia has led to a burgeoning of arts and cultural practices for this population. So creative and arts-based approaches have attracted increasing attention across research, policy, and practice in the US and in Europe, and in Canada as well. There are a huge number of groups that are popping up using puppetry, museum visits, I'm sure you can all think of some as well, a lot of film. And the conditions underpinning this interest include a widespread awareness that interventions that emphasise quality of life and well-being are vital. So in the UK, supporting people to live well with dementia is the overarching objective driving national policy. And this is something I'm sitting at the moment on a task and finish group for the Department of Health. And they're interested in the arts for people with dementia, and the main driver is how to increase well-being for this group of people. And yet, there's a gap that exists between this emphasis on the arts and the dearth of knowledge about the feelings and the opinions of the people with dementia who participate in these groups. And there are other gaps. There's also a huge funding gap. So there's a lot of talk about the importance of these arts groups, and there's almost no funding. So it was this urgent interest to understand the arts for people with dementia that underlies the rationale for mark-making that I led. And we used a range of innovative methods, including this comic. This comic was a way of communicating and having something to leave with the artists as well as with people with dementia concerning what we were doing. And it proved to be very effective. So the drawing of me provoked a lot of hilarity. Some people think it looks like me, other people not sure. And we were able to say these kinds of questions. However, in some of the projects, it was really controversial and we were asked to remove the comic. And that's because we used the word dementia. So whilst the project was a project for people with dementia, we couldn't use the word. So that was very interesting, and that kind of fed back into my fascination with language around this term. Okay, so the projects. Those are the four projects. Two were London-based, visual to vocal and musical thought, at the Wigmore Hall and the Dulwich Picture Gallery. Elderflowers is based in Scotland. It's extraordinary, it's the most long-running of projects. It's been running, I think, 20 years. And we work in hospitals and in daycare centres in a one-to-one way with people with dementia. And Verdigris is perhaps very typical of many projects. It's in Hebden Bridge, and it's run in that town hall every Thursday without fail on, I think, 50 quid a week, or nobody's being paid to do this. But it's a vital resource within Hebden Bridge. These are bigger projects and much better funded. So we thought that was a good mix and a good representation of the different projects going on. Okay, so the importance then of listening to the views of people with dementia. This is talked about a lot, so probably you've come across it, those of you who work in the dementia field. You read a lot of articles saying we must listen to the voices of people with dementia, and there aren't many voices. There are good reasons for this. Some of this is to do with the ethics procedures within universities, which require very hefty forms to be filled in. Also, the ethics procedures within groups themselves can make it very difficult to access the voices of people with dementia. And we set out naively thinking it would be fine because of our experience, and we also found it very difficult. That was the guiding motto for the importance we felt that we couldn't research dementia without including people with dementia. But we did, as I said, we had difficulty, and this was to do with the time limits. So I couldn't spend long enough in any one project to build up trusting relationships and to therefore get a very, very deep account of how people felt. But nonetheless, we spoke to 23 people with a dementia, and I'm going to present some of those themes now in their own words about why the arts projects were important. So two of the projects integrated school children and young musicians. And the participants I talked to from those projects, that was Visual to Vocal and the Wigmore Hall, both the London ones, made unprompted comments about how much they'd enjoyed the intergenerational interaction. So there you see them singing together. The youthful energy of the musicians was appreciated, and several people remarked that they just enjoyed watching them play their instruments, that it was uplifting. And one interviewee explicitly said, "I liked the young musicians that were there. They were very friendly and jolly and good." And another person said, "They were the ones who were most active, and they enjoyed that." The presence of these schoolboys was very important for one participant who said, "These lovely boys came over in supposedly their working time with chocolate bars. It was really nice." The sense that these younger people were giving time was obviously very positive. And as Violet said, obviously not her real name, and I should say I worked with two graphic artists as well on this project, and they came and drew, which was an incredibly important way of capturing things that I didn't see as a researcher with notes. So that's Violet. And she said, and they were so nice, these young chaps, and they'd pull your leg. And that was the beginning of it, really. So it seems for Violet, and she had quite an advanced dementia, that her joking with the boys was one of the special features of the sessions, and it generated a very special energy for her. And she also said, and we used to pull their legs. So there was a sense of mutuality and reciprocity that I began to understand was happening in the intergenerational aspects. And that's a big thing in the literature, the philosophical literature around dementia. The idea that people with dementia can't engage reciprocally and that that can undermine their sense of personhood seems to be absolutely not the case. It has been challenged elsewhere as well. So I also talked to the musicians, the young musicians and the schoolboys, about how they felt. And one lad said that before he started, he was very apprehensive, because you see how dementia patients are portrayed on television and in the movies. And clearly the stigma and the fear, and I think this is probably the greatest threat to any community, perhaps. But I think it can be countered by arts projects. I'll come back to that. The projects provided an opportunity for people to become part of a group that was an alternative group that gave a sense of identity that was different from just being somebody with a dementia. So that was incredibly important. And so that quote again, the full quote is, we became a little group within ourselves. They all sorted themselves out like people do. So there was a sense that they were doing something. And linked to this notion of identity was a sense of cohesion and social cohesion that the arts groups gave the people with dementia. So here's the following exchange. I was the researcher. So I said, so it's quite nice to be in a group of people who've got a similar problem. And she says, yes, it is. And I said, but you don't need to talk about that problem. And she says, no, when we're together, that's the thing. I don't seem to want to talk about it. I don't know why. So this exchange is reflected in this comment as well, that there's an appreciation that we're all coming for this one reason and we're all in the same boat. But that's a quote from one of the focus groups that I led. So it seems that it's very nice to be in a group of people with a dementia doing something that's not at all related to dementia, and that is, nonetheless, that's very supportive. The role of physical space became a preoccupation for me, and I think that was because one artist in particular, one musician, spent half the interview telling me how he organised the space and how that helped him interact, have eye contact with the people with dementia, and how it produced a different musical result. So I became very interested in space. And one project actually took place in a fascinating space, the Wigmore Hall. There's also the idea of a psychic space and a psychological space that was created by these projects for the people with dementia. And one gentleman remarks, in this part of this quote here, there is so much of a chaotic nature going on in my life. And then he goes on to say, but this is important because it's something that's not happening in daily life. It's a little change. And he talked about being on stage at the Wigmore Hall and physically seeing the concert hall from a different perspective and how important that was. So that's something I'd be really interested in exploring a lot more. I was also struck by how the people I talked to have noticed the tiniest details. So they noticed beautiful parquet on the floor and wonderful pictures that were put up. And so the aesthetics of the space was also very important. So I think, I don't know if you can read that. I think that there were some very important insights then to be gleaned from these interviews that I was lucky enough to do. These include the role of intergenerational reciprocity, identity, social cohesion, and the importance of space, and the relationship of space to time. This is imbued with both a physical and psychological relevance. and they're all constituent parts of what we might think of as a successful community network. So without overtly setting out to think about community networks, each of the projects did become material spaces in which people with dementia were enabled to renegotiate aspects of their own identity. Indeed, this was another important aspect of the projects. People with dementia could don new identities, such as actor, musician, singer, and artist, but also feel secure because they're in the same boat as other people. People didn't mind taking risks in that environment. The arts projects were dynamic networks, and they were characterized by an interdependence. So the concert and the recording wouldn't have taken place without everybody being involved, more or less equally. So a new and special sort of community was created. So the particular value of the arts projects then is perhaps most vividly demonstrated in mark making by the interactions between the schoolboys and the participants with dementia. That same boy that talked about being very apprehensive because he'd seen what people with dementia were like, which reminded me of your question, what do you imagine somebody with dementia to be like? He reformed his opinion by the end of the project. I talked to him again, and he said, well, these people seem so warm and just like us when it comes to music. Music connects us and makes us all equal, essentially. So that was a phenomenal insight that he had, and the artists too, to differing degrees. So mark making demonstrated the ability for the arts to help dispel stigma by uniting groups of people who are otherwise disparate in generation, gender, occupation, and physical or mental health. After all, the arts, as Julian Hughes beautifully writes, rely on taking a broad, imaginative view, appreciating context and privileging feelings rather than certitudes. So I think that the possibilities that arts projects have reveal profound resonance for people with dementia. Thank you.